You're listening to Intentional Optimists, the podcast for unconventional leaders, where you'll find inspiration, learn to discover and develop your own strengths, and hear from inspiring women just like you who are making a difference in their community. Who knows, you just might find yourself stepping up as the next unconventional leader right where you are. I'm your host, Andrea Johnson, the original Intentional Optimist. Your baby needs a liver transplant. Wait, what? No parent wants to hear that their child is sick. I mean, mine is 12 now and has always been very healthy. And I still make sure he's breathing each night before I go to bed. So I can't even imagine what it was like when today's guest heard that phrase when her baby boy was only 7 weeks old. Welcome to episode 26, and today you get to sit in on a very tender conversation I had with Morgan Emo, founder and owner of Child Life Coffee. Morgan and her husband Todd spent over a year virtually living in the hospital while their son waited for, received, and recovered from a living donor liver transplant. The entire time, the healthcare workers, these child life specialists who are pediatric healthcare professionals who work with children and families in hospitals and other settings to help them cope with the challenges of hospitalization, illness, and disability, these workers were such an inspiration that they wanted to figure out a way to both model and give back to assist other families going through similar situations. So they came up with Child Life Coffee, proudly supporting child life programs, one cup at a time. Here's Morgan Emo.
Hello, Morgan.
Hi.
Welcome to Intentional Optimists, Unconventional Leaders. How are you today?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I'm well. So what I'd love to do is, I've just given our listeners a little bit of background on you, but in your words, I'd love for you to tell us who you are, how we kind of know each other tangentially. We're really just meeting for the first time today, and just a little bit of how you, what you're doing right now and what makes you an unconventional leader.
So my husband's small business is called Child Life Coffee, and we started this business to give back to a local hospital that provided great support for our son that was very sick at an early age. He had a rare liver disease called biliary atresia, and we noticed he was not doing very well when he was around 7 weeks old. And then we were brought into a liver transplant institute to get him tested. And then when he was around 8 months, he received his life-saving gift, which is a new liver from an extended family living donor. And So we just wanted to give back to the child life program at that hospital, and that fully supported us and emotionally, and also for James emotionally, physical abilities too. So that's how we came up with Child Life Coffee, to give back to the program up there at the hospital. So with James' situation, my husband and I were not matches from the very beginning. It starts with a compatible blood type, and or same blood type, and we were not matches. And so we told our family and friends about James, and that he needed a partial liver or a whole liver from a partial liver from a living donor. And a lot of people don't know that the liver does regenerate.
No,
that's the only
organ in the body.
Yeah. So a lot of people don't know that.
The only one that will do that, right?
Yeah, the only organ that does that, and a lot of people don't know that. And they hear about kidneys because you have two, right?
Sure.
You can give one and can live with just one. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't know that about the liver. And got tested right away. It takes a few months, and it's a lot of testing. But she was the most perfect match for James, the only person that was built up to see if she was a match. And they only do one person at a time.
Really?
Yeah, which is really scary. It's just, it's a lot of work for the living donor team to do. And
wow.
He received his transplant just 2 years ago on January 8th.
You just had a celebration. Okay. Yay. So we're recording this in early January. So we're on January 12th. Just 4 days later. So this is a big holiday for you guys.
A big holiday for us, a big celebration. So yeah, a lot of people don't know about the liver that regenerates. And we received care at Georgetown, MedStar Georgetown University Hospital, and they have a transplant institute for kidney and liver and GI too.
Okay. So yeah. When you say child life, tell me what that means. Like, I come from like oncology or, you know, so I like the name. I like what it means. So what is child, is that the actual Georgetown Institute or is this a
no, this is a whole child life specialist. Most likely in all hospitals, especially children's hospitals, but Georgetown's not, but they do have a program at Georgetown. And what they do, they provide emotionally, physical, and also educational programs for the children and for the parents, especially of their disease. If they have like a liver disease, they provide education for the parents, and also they provide support, especially if the child, for example, to get blood work done in the hospital, they can help distract the child and explain what's happening in a way that a child understands.
Sure. Mine would be out the door.
He's like, yeah, it's
that's a needle, I'm gone.
Yeah, it's very intense. James has been through a lot with that. They provide programs to help the children, and they also coordinate meals for families that are in the hospital setting. And my husband and I just want to give back to that program and help provide profits for them to help them with the families and children that are there.
So how did you come up with the idea of a coffee business? Are you like a big coffee drinker?
Definitely while we're in the hospital, my husband is, especially in the hospital setting. And I remember my husband came back one late evening in the room and saying, oh, there's no more coffee left. And it's just a long day with James in the hospital. And one of the nurses went back behind the desk and say, hey, there's a K-cup right there. How about you use it? You have had a long day. And so we've been just playing around with ideas of what's more profitable and what people really use daily, and it's coffee. So what can you go wrong with coffee and helping your family and children that are hospitalized?
Sure. Okay. So let's get into, we know your why. Your why is to serve the families and to give back to the program there at Georgetown specifically, right? Mm-hmm. So when you serve, where do you have a coffee shop?
No, not a physical shop. It's online for now. We want to start small. You know, we are going through a pandemic and we just started our business in September. We launched in September, so it's still really early, but we do have big dreams and aspirations for this, for our coffee business. We want to extend our profits across the nation eventually. And we want to start small and then grow. And see, hopefully wherever we go, hopefully we were able to give back and help others.
Okay. So right now you're not actually providing the K-cups for the families, but you are working up profits to give back to.
We actually are giving back with coffee as well.
Okay.
For in Georgetown.
I thought I saw some pictures. Yeah. I thought I saw some pictures online of you delivering.
Yeah, we are delivering coffee to the healthcare workers and families, and also our business partners do care packages for families. And so our coffee also is provided in those care packages too.
So tell me about these other workers that do other things that you collaborate with. Tell me about these collaboration ideas.
So they're Liver Mamas and Families. They're a nonprofit and they help with resources for families and children that are in hospital settings, specifically for the while they're there for pre and post liver transplant.
Okay.
And they're able to provide, you know, education about liver transplant and a leaning shoulder and care packages that they provide for families.
Okay.
So they're also trying to help too for those families. And then the Child Life Shop, that we have teamed up, they are child life specialists and they provide education and programs to help child life specialists in the making, basically, or those who are child life specialists too.
So you mean like the healthcare workers, like a resident or somebody that wanted
more
to-
like a child life, like more child life specialists specifically.
Okay. So it sounds like this is a little bit well-rounded, but it's still kind of early, right? Do you feel like this is kind of in the early stages? So walk me through how, because I'm going to assume this is not, you may own this business, but I'm going to assume this is not your bread and butter.
No.
Okay.
No. So my husband works.
Okay. So walk me through how you guys, the process, because I know that there's a lot of people out there that there's probably women out there who think, gosh, that's something I could do. And it sounds small, you start small. And I don't necessarily want to make $1 million. I mean, not that that would be bad, but that may not necessarily, that's probably not what your motivation was. Your motivation was to give back. Mm-hmm. So maybe walk us through how you guys, your thought process, how you got there and said, oh, you know what, this is a way we could do that. And you said, you kind of looked at, well, how could we make profit? I mean, you gave me a big overview of that, but maybe walk through a couple of steps. Can you do that?
Okay. Yeah, of course. So my husband and I have always wanted to give back and we thought about coffee. And obviously this is not his full-time job. My full-time job is being a stay-at-home mom. basically, we discussed the realities of it, and he's more of the brain of it, and I'm more of the creativity part of it.
So he's business operation, and you're the marketing.
Yeah, I am.
The creativity, gotcha.
Yes, I am. So I think we balance each other out because he lets me know what we can do, what we can't do, and I tell him this is what my ideas are especially for social media.
You tell him this is what we're gonna do.
Yeah. Basically, I think there's never always the perfect time to go for it, right? I think you have to have a lot of courage, and my husband and I, Todd, and I always think about our son James, about the courage that he had to endure as a very early age, and I think that really helped motivate us to start a business. You know, it's hard, especially right now, but I think it's well worth it. If you, like you said earlier on, I think it's so, if you continue to dream about it, do it, pray about it and do it. You know, it's hard, but it's, I think it's worth it. I really do.
Well,
I really do.
So tell me about where's your coffee from? How did you find it? How did you source it? And, you know, what kind of coffee are we talking about? And then we're going to talk about some other things.
Yeah. We have a roaster.
You roast it yourself?
No, we don't. We have a roast. We do have a roaster that roasts our coffee. Outsourced, not in our home.
I jumped to a conclusion. Yeah. Okay.
Not there yet. Not there yet. What you can do, we have all kinds of coffee from all different origins of the world. We have some African coffee, some Indonesia coffee. We have dark, medium roast. We have decaf. We have flavor coffee. We have it all.
That's me. I'm a flavored coffee person.
Yes, we were very busy for the holiday season. That's for sure.
Okay.
We have the original flavor coffees: mocha, vanilla, hazelnut. So we have it all.
I'm a coconut girl. You got a coconut one?
we'll figure it out. I'm sure we can figure that out. We definitely can create our own flavors if we want to. So it's really fun
give me the nitty gritty. I want to know. So when you say you get to create your own flavors, where if you get these beans, do you buy the beans and then you tell your roaster, add this flavoring in, or do you buy them flavored already? How do you do this?
So basically,
I'm nosy rosy curious here. I want to know how this works.
So basically they have the flavors. They let us know what they have, and we're able to be able to tweak it. So it's freshly roasted coffee. Mm-hmm. And you can have it in ground bean, whole bean. We also provide grinded coffee for the reusable K-cups as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that, but there's different options when you check out and what you want. And so it's just really neat how they do it. It's really fun to be creative. Especially we can create our own names for the coffee. That's really fun to do.
Oh, okay. Tell me some of your fun names. Cause if you're the creative one, you get to do that part, right?
Yeah. So we didn't release them all that's provided for us. Cause we always want to create more in the future. Mm-hmm. But this winter we did sleigh bell vanilla, and it was just really warm, rich vanilla. It was really cute.
Yeah.
And I really like that kind of stuff. We did just plain peppermint, but that was really great and it was really popular too. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's perfect holiday stuff, right?
It's perfect, right? And then we did a really yummy caramel bliss. Mm-hmm. That's really popular, and that's really fun just to create names for coffee. And sometimes we ask our family and friends if they have any suggestions, because we are new to this.
Yeah.
And so it's really fun to also get family involved and friends involved.
Cool.
To create. Yeah.
We have a friend who, and I'm see if I can say this right. This was actually my son's kindergarten teacher has opened her own business. And she does, I've been calling them charcuterie boards, but she uses they like to hike around here in the Blue Ridge. And so she names all of her boxes after the different trails that they hike off of.
That's amazing.
So, I mean, it's fun to find, you could even name them after like some of your favorite workers, or some of your favorite doctors, or, you never know, right?
I know.
So, but it's fun to have the different names. You've got them stored up for the next few years. So it sounds like you're planning out several years. You've got a future plan. That's good.
We do. We really are in this, and we really want to make a difference, and they do deserve all the help that they need. You know, we received all the help, and why not give it back? Mm. So we're very motivated to do this. So,
So really quick, I'm going to get into the business thing here, because even though I know that's your husband's job, but you're a for-profit, you're not a nonprofit, you help nonprofits, right? That's what you said to me.
Yeah.
So in your for-profit model, do you have a percentage that you say to people, this much percentage of the sale of this coffee goes to
haven't figured that out since we're still really new, but our first time giving back, obviously we do have bills to pay for
operational costs.
So but I think it was just really neat. We raised $550.
Okay.
Within so from September until I think around November, December.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty well off, and that donation, went to a child life program at Georgetown and provided new toys for the toddler age for the holiday season, and that was just really neat. They really needed the extra help for that age group, because I think people think about the itty bitties and the preschool.
Elementary
group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To have something for the little toddlers, because they're hard on toys too.
They are. I do have a toddler, so it is kind of hard.
Do you just have James, or do you have another?
No, I have a sweet daughter, Amelia. She's a little over 6 months old.
Little bitty.
Very little.
we were joking at the very right before we hit record about how running as long as you do during the day, and how we're recording this at night, and I'm normally like makeup off by 7 o'clock, and so let's actually get into, though, Morgan, this is definitely a leadership type role, right? I mean, this is a role where you're actually leading other people to think about giving back, purchasing something in order to give back. You're leading people to think about the children and the families in these child life programs. So let's talk about that a little bit. Do you have any like early memories? Do you consider yourself a leader? And do you have any early memories of you being a leader?
Well, my background is actually, I got my bachelor's degree in early childhood elementary education. And so I have that background of being that leader, being that teacher. So that is where I got, you know, some of the confidence to lead small children, and also, you know, being a coworker at school. But I never really considered myself a true leader. But when you're in a situation that's really intense, especially medical trauma for your baby, you have to be that advocate and that leader. And so even like I was able to tell them how I felt with James and what was working, what was not, in front of intelligent people. Go to school for this.
They may know what's going on inside his body, but they don't know what's going on inside your head or in your heart. And so that sounds like a whole lot of courage that was developed throughout this process.
Yes, okay. Definitely. And a courage also to see your baby very sick too. You never think especially everything, a normal, healthy pregnancy, and then 7 weeks later, your baby is very ill. When you're thrown into that situation, you either sink or swim. And I'm not going to lie, it was very difficult. Some days were very, very hard, very challenging. But it took a lot of courage to get through it. A lot of leadership to advocate for my son. They're there to check on him. The nurses are there to check on him, but I was there in that room all the time, right?
Yep.
So I would know what he would need, and specifically, not just all the medicines, but also support for him emotionally and physically too.
So how old was he when he got his transplant? He was a year?
He was
8 months.
He's 7 months, just turned 7 months old. And so, yeah, he was in and out of the hospital from 7 weeks old to, there's some times that he has to go back into the hospital if he's sick, if he has a fever, they admit him to make sure his liver's okay, sure. There's no infection. You know, he is immune compromised,
okay.
Which means he's on medicine to help his body not reject his new liver.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Will that be forever?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, it will be forever. And
this process created and developed in you and probably in your husband a whole lot of courage. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it developed a lot of empathy. It mm-hmm. helped you understand and see things from a completely different perspective. It also sounds like, sorry, here's coach is coming out here. It sounds like you developed a whole lot of emotional intelligence through this process. You know, for you to say, I was able to stand up to these people who know exactly what they're doing. And I was able to tell them what I was feeling. And I'm like, yep, that means you're self-aware. That's awesome, right? So how has that realization of you becoming an advocate and feeling like that's a real leadership responsibility for you, how has that kind of shaped your mindset? And did that kind of spur you into this business?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question. I've been thinking that the past 2 years, the situation definitely can change a person, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It makes you look at life differently, I think, and how you process things, what's really small and what's really big, what's really important, what's, you know, okay, I can get over it, you know.
And not sweat the small stuff and everything's right. actually and small stuff. Right?
I do catch myself though at times mm-hmm. because we're humans, you know.
Ah,
you know, but yeah, it has really changed my perspective. You know, we are Christ followers, and mm-hmm. that made us trust God no matter what the outcome. And it was really mm-hmm. hard to not think about the worst of the worst situation
sure.
that happened. It was. I mean, we did have to have this tough conversations. It was hard not to, you know, dread on that and what could happen.
Mm.
It takes courage to go through that, and it also takes courage to start a small business too, you know, especially now.
I totally get it.
Yeah, you do.
I totally get it. All right. So tell me so normally I ask people for this, like, I'm a leader realization moment. Like I say, what is it that caused you to say, hey, I'm a leader. I'm stepping up here. Like you said, you knew you were an advocate. What was that moment that you realized I got this, right? When you knew this was a road you needed to travel, you knew it's like, I have to give back. We have to do something. What was there one thing that kind of pushed you over the edge for that?
I think after transplant and things, you know, like I said, there's never the perfect time to do this, but like around, especially when the pandemic hit, resources were probably slower, you know, everyone and everything has been affected by this pandemic, right? And so we reached out to the Child Life specialists and let them know what we are doing. And basically, like, wherever they need help, we're there. And also provide coffee for them, for the healthcare workers and families up there. So I think that's really where, like, we really just, like, we got to do this because I'm sure they're short. You know, they could be short with help.
Is there a principle that you would say has helped you step into that to actually become that more courageous person, that advocate, or somebody that says, I don't care if the supply chain has slowed down, I'm going to actually go get coffee. I'm going to source it myself.
Yeah, I think it starts with compassion. I think You know, we see a lot of compassion throughout the hospital and their healthcare workers, because they're there day in and day out to help these children and these families. And I think two people, my husband and myself, have compassion and to just give back. You know, it can go a long way, I think.
It can. And, you know, I think right now compassion is desperately needed. And a lot of times I think it's underrated, right? It's a lot of times it's seen as weakness. It's, you know, and tell me why it's not.
Like you said, I think this world right now needs a lot of compassion. I've always been told I have a lot of compassion. I've always thought it's weakness, or like, oh, you're too sensitive, or a weakness. It's not being too sensitive. Like you said, it can go a long way, especially now. So.
Yeah. Okay. And it can, yeah. Right? And you're doing it in a very specific right. place, in a very specific way. But what I wrote down here is that the compassion was modeled by these healthcare mm-hmm. workers. And so it sounds like you already had it, but they kind of modeled it better for you, or for you to kind of like, I don't know, maybe rejuvenate mm-hmm. that and be able to see it. Because I could imagine that being a parent walking through that process, it's easy to be very focused inwardly instead of outward, mm-hmm. right? Did you ever think going through before, during, and right after the transplant that something that this would happen, that you would actually do something like this to give back? I mean, was that something like, these people have helped us so much, we want to give back?
We've had very late nights in the hospital, and we, my husband and I, would talk about like, how can we get back? They really need help. And we also see other people helping, coming in and helping pre-pandemic in the hospital, volunteers, yeah, and sure. that also motivated us to like, how can we come back to help out? And like I said at the very beginning, we were running on coffee and no sleep, and you know, sometimes hospitals don't really have very good coffee, you know.
It's a little bit notorious for not having good. I mean, well, and it sounds like too that it was a conversation that kind of grew, right? It wasn't like a big realization, bam, mm-hmm. moment. It was, what can we do? Mm-hmm. What can we do? What can we do? And then it just kind of mm-hmm. dawned on you. It's like it slowly mm-hmm. dawned on you, and then you grew the idea. So I like to ask what your habit or ritual is that kind of keeps you moving forward, because we all have them, right? I mean, we don't, if we're not growing, we're stagnant, you know. So usually growing involves some kind of habit, some kind of rituals or whatever. And is there a habit now? I mean, because is that something that got you through, is like the being able to step back for a little while? So how about now? Because you're a mom with a small business and two small children. Yeah. What is a good habit that kind of keeps you on top of things and make sure that you kind of get where you want to be every day?
This business helps my creativity, because sometimes I think being a stay-at-home mom, it can be really hard, but also rewarding, obviously. But like, just to have your own little moment to be creative on your own, and with my husband, I think that has really helped me.
Your business is your habit that actually helps you get through the early childhood days. And actually, that's a really cool concept, because most people are like, oh, I got to do these things to get me through my day. But this is a creative outlet for you. That's kind of nice. So you give back, and it's rewarding at the same time. You know, in life, a lot of times we talk about seeing red flags, we say, oh, how many red flags did we not see? We shouldn't have gone down that road. But as on the Intentional Optimist here, we like to talk about green flags. We like to talk about things that we can see in ourselves. So if somebody were interested in giving back or starting a small company that could give back, what are some things they should look for in themselves? Some traits or some maybe some ideas. You said earlier, if you're thinking about it a lot, you know, what kind of green flags would you maybe say people should look for?
Right now, need people to go for it and don't let anything hold you back. Even though there's could be hoops and loops to get through.
I love that idea of loops. You know, we always talk about hoops.
But there's loops.
But nobody tells us about the loops.
There's such things. Trust me.
Sometimes you get turned upside down. So okay, I love that.
It's true, but like needs more people to potentially give back to others. I think it really people really need that right now. And so I think that's one of the green flags. Motivation, good motivation to do something good.
So if somebody did want to do it, you said that you and your husband are a great team, right? He does the business side, you do the creative side. So if you had some advice for somebody, it sounds like part of that is just go for it. But what's another piece of advice? Is there any kind of anything specific that you would say, all right, you're going to do this, A, B, and C?
I think also setting realistic goals.
Okay. Tell me about that.
You know, we are small. We are a small business. We're just starting. And, you know, you can have big dreams and big goals, but you need to also start small and realistic goals. It could be most of our profits go back to the Chalet program at Georgetown. And so that's our goal. We have a main goal. Start with a main goal. You know, if you're successful in your one small goal, then expand to another goal. You know, just keep going. I think that's what motivates us, because eventually Todd and I want to expand to more local hospitals.
You mean to give back to other local hospitals or provide coffee there?
Both.
Okay. So what I hear you saying there too is we talk about giving yourself the small wins. So when we give ourselves the opportunities to make the small wins, then that reinforces. It's this competent confidence feedback loop, right? The more we gain competence, it's hard to say. The more we get, Brendan Burchard talks about this. The more we gain competence, the more we gain confidence, which gives us the ability to try more things and get more competent at them. And it's this, that's a good kind of loops, right? It's like, it kind of like feeds itself. So I like that idea of giving yourself the opportunity. Of course, you have to have a horizon goal. If you don't know where you're going, right? But then if you give yourself small, and I wrote down small, consistent wins.
Right? Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. How can people find you? What are they looking for when they find you?
So you can go on our website, www.tellifecoffee.com. Look at our story. Our story's on there.
Okay.
Our reason why we started our business. And also, of course, all the coffee that we have provided for you, for our customers. There's different origins, like I said.
And do you have, I think you mentioned earlier to me that for our podcast listeners, you have a discount code if they would
we
like
do.
To order.
Okay. We do. The discount code is ChildLife1010.
ChildLife10. All right. And we'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
And do you ship everywhere?
We ship all across the United States.
Okay. We don't ship internationally yet.
No, not yet.
Okay, not yet. That's okay. You have to start small. You're going to start with one of the smallest countries in the world, the United States. okay, so before we close out, one of the things that I did want to ask you too, is there anything that I did not ask you that you would like to share? Did I leave anything out?
I don't think so. I think you covered it all.
I'm curious. So before we go then, one of the things we love to ask all of our guests is, because we're the intentional optimists, what is one thing that you can always be optimistic about, even when everybody else thinks you're crazy? This can be wide open. This can be silly. This can be fun. This can be profound.
I always thought it would be crazy to be a working mom, the working mom. But I think it's crazy to me. But I'm very thankful that I am able to be a stay-at-home mom and also run a small business. I think, I don't, maybe boring, but to me, I think
Why would
it's
that be boring? How many women out
I
there would love that?
don't
So
know.
you're basically optimistic that you can
You can
be.
do it. I never thought I would be doing this. I never thought I can be able to do all this, but I am able to do this, and I think it's rewarding and it's fun and it makes me motivated to give back and show my children that you can do these
I was
things.
hoping you would get there. I was hoping you would land there because I'm like, she needs to be aware that she's got two people watching her constantly.
Yes, definitely.
And for other women out there to hear that you didn't think you were going to do this. This was not something, and I love it when interviews land here because I want women to hear that just because it never crossed their mind doesn't mean it's not possible. Right? The possibilities are endless. And all we have to do is just be open to those ideas and open to the opportunities that literally come to us and like land in our laps or come at 2 o'clock in the morning over and over and over over a cup of coffee while you're waiting and listening to the machines go beep, 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 right? It floors me sometimes the creativity that people have and they don't recognize it. They don't recognize the beauty of that. So I'm so glad that you landed there with saying that you want your kids to see that anything is possible, that they can do it. So let's go ahead and wrap it up. Again, is there any, there's nothing else that you wanted to share? Did I leave anything out?
I think you covered it all. I really appreciate being on here and sharing our story and our why.
Morgan seems so young to have learned these lessons and been inspired to give back in this way. But most of us don't get the opportunity to choose when we're going to learn the lessons that will teach us the most. So let's look at how Morgan lives the principles and values of intentional optimism and unconventional leadership. Morgan's willingness to hope, even in the face of extreme hardship, is evidence of her optimism. And she's present. Her business is set up for the express purpose of generating funds that allow her to be generous with her time and her creativity. Morgan is the creative energy in the Child Life Coffee Venture. And the business they've set up is fully life-focused, celebrating the child life specialists with a desire to ensure that every single purchase provides support to children and families in hospital settings. Morgan is wise beyond her years. She understands that she's not in control of her circumstances, and through her faith, relies on God, knowing that He is. Through the creation of Child Life Coffee, Morgan is intentional, knowing that her why is to help other families in similar situations and give back to the specialists and the institution that provided life-giving services to her son. But more than any other tenet, and I'm sure you heard this throughout the interview, she embodies and lives out courage. She recognized the need to learn how to listen and advocate for her son as they walked this difficult road. She understood that she was developing leadership skills that she can apply in every area of her life, using the experience as a crucible of learning rather than seeing it as a hardship. Now, Morgan is unconventional in her leadership because her passion to provide support to children, their family, and the child life specialists that work with them is a reflection of her core values of compassion, support, and giving back. She's a role model for other parents walking the path behind her and ultimately for her children that they might understand that they can do anything. And Morgan chose to view this journey as an opportunity to grow, develop courage, and figure out how to lead. Unconventional leaders lead at every level in any area using their unique gifts. And Morgan has decided to step up, learn, and model how to do this for those around her, again, including her children. Now, big hardships have the ability to laser your focus into what's really important. And Morgan was struck with the reality that you can't walk this kind of road alone. She and her family have been cared for so beautifully, allowing them to open up and be present for their son, and now other families as well. And compassion is kind of her word. We talked about how compassion is not a weakness. It was modeled well by the child life specialist, and that has been her motivation to move forward in compassionate courage. Here are some takeaways for how to keep moving forward through some really tough circumstances you may face. First, take a breather. Find ways to step away, physically, mentally, just unplug and find a quiet spot. She suggested getting creative. Her current outlet is being the creative force behind Child Life Coffee. I can attest to the need for this. Taking time to write each day gives me the mental and emotional outlet to rejuvenate, even in the chaos of everyday life. Next, step up, even when you're uncomfortable. You might find yourself in a circumstance like Morgan, where others are well-versed in the specifics of a medical or economic situation. But as she shared, you don't have to know all the things. Just allow compassion to motivate you to step up as an advocate for someone else who can't. Maybe they're in your family, maybe they're in your community, but compassion is the key. Number three, nurture your motivation to help. When you notice a dream starting to take shape in your mind and heart, cultivate it. You never know how your dream can become a very real force of good in your community or for a specific group. And finally, set realistic goals. Now, that sounds a little counterintuitive on a lot of personal growth platforms, but if you're willing to see the big vision and dream and then walk it back to specific, achievable goals that allow you to build up your resilience and your competence through small, consistent wins, you're more likely to go the distance. Morgan never dreamed that she could have a small business that gives back to those who cared for her and her family while being the mother of two small children. But please pay attention here, because no matter your circumstance or situation, you can do this too. I'm always amazed at the creativity with which women are showing up, and they don't even realize it. Now, you can check out childlifecoffee.com, and when you order, use the discount code CHILDLIFE10 for a 10% discount on your order. You can also follow them on Facebook, and we've included those links in the show notes. 2021 is the perfect opportunity to launch forward in ways you may have never expected. Are you ready to step into a role that you've never considered before? What are you seeing right in front of you? How will you foster leadership qualities in yourself and in others? If you want to grow but don't know where to start, you need to check out my Facebook community, Intentional Optimists. Jim Rohn famously said, "You're the average of the five people you spend the most time with." So we're building a community with a culture that helps us all learn to think and live with intentional optimism. Intentional growth includes feeding your mind, so you'll want to check out our monthly book club focused on personal growth and development. So join us. The link is also in the show notes. I know your time is valuable, so thank you for spending a little bit of it with us today. Is there someone who, while you were listening, you thought of who might need to hear Morgan's story? If so, share it. And don't forget to subscribe on your favorite platform, and you'll never miss an episode. All right, now it's time to go leave a review and a rating right where you listen. It'll help others find us. Until next time. Hey, thanks for listening today. If you're an intentional optimist and you love this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review with a 5-star rating. You can also snap a screenshot right where you're listening, share it to social media, and tag me. This helps others find us, and we'll have an even bigger impact. If you're curious what it would be like to work more closely with me, or just to step up as an unconventional leader yourself, I invite you to schedule a free discovery session to talk with me and learn more. Just email me at andrea@theintentionaloptimist.com. If you're looking for an encouraging and uplifting community on Facebook, hop on over and join the Intentional Optimist group, women encouraging women from all over the globe. The community and email links are right here in the show description wherever you listen to the podcast. Until next time, remember, you're the answer. You are the future of leadership and the role models for future generations.